Okay, are we ready for the word? Is that it? Samantha? Yeah. Okay, so this morning we've got a dashing, dynamic young preacher, and that's none other than Mr. Manish, where is Manish Peters, all right? And today, Manish and Shoma are celebrating their wedding anniversary, so you can wish them happy anniversary, Manish and Shoma. Wonderful. Now, you know, Manish and Shoma, let's just tell you a little bit about this couple. You know, they have been tirelessly serving the church in different capacities. One of the things they've been doing over the lockdown is they've been engaged with the Hindi church. And we're so thankful to that. They meet with the people in the church, are discipling some of them, are there for the meetings, and really carrying a huge responsibility there. You know, apart from that, Shoma and Manish are also part of an intercessory prayer group that works, that meets apart from our normal times of prayer, and just needs to pray for word of grace, for me, for my family, and are just silently praying. And we're so thankful for that. And they serve in so many other ways. Manish leads the North Gym and carries so much responsibility. So Manish, thank you for all that you do. And Shoma, wish you a very, very happy wedding anniversary. Hope you have a great day together. And we are looking forward to hearing you preach God's word this morning. Yay!
Thank you, Colin. Thank you. You have just raised me high, so I'll just come down to my correct level for preaching. I'll just set some things 1 second. I would request you to keep your videos on so that I know you are hearing the message. So before we begin, let's get into the word. Let's pray. Father, I submit us into your lovely hands, Father. As I speak your word, Father, anoint the words, Father. Let the words touch the hearts of everyone, Father. I pray for your presence, continued presence with us, Abba. I pray that all of us will have a change today, including me, Father, and we'll take some step of action, Father, concrete steps as we leave this meeting, Father. We will put those words which we learn, Father, we'll put that into action, Father. I ask this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, Bible calls us sheep, and Jesus is our good shepherd. Sheep are meant to be in their flock. Similarly, we are meant to be in our community of believers. When a sheep wanders away from their flock, they put themselves in danger. They put themselves under the risk of getting killed by predators. When we wander away from our fellowship with the community of believers, we endanger ourselves. So some of us might say, Jesus is my shepherd, he will never leave me. Yes, he will never leave you, never forsake you. But the shepherd always takes his sheep back to the flock. So exactly 1 year back, I preached a sermon titled, Are You Walking With God? Today, I'm going to preach. Today, the title of the message is, Are You Walking With The Body? What do you mean by, are you walking with the body? You never leave your body when you go for a walk. So what I mean is, are you walking with the body of Christ? We are part of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says we are part of Christ's body. Together, we are body of Christ. We are supposed to walk with the body of Christ. So are you walking with the body of Christ? Are you in fellowship with the body of Christ? Do you know them? Let's see. What is fellowshipping? Fellowshipping with community of believers doesn't mean just chit-chat or eating meals together. It is not just worshiping God together on a Sunday morning. It's not just knowing their name and workplace. All this is important for developing a fellowship, but this is not biblical fellowshipping. Biblical fellowshipping is unselfish, genuine, loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sympathetic, comforting, unconditional forgiving, and all the other one another commands in New Testament. There are hundreds of them. Bear with one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, so on. Yes, it is developing a deep, intimate relationship with one another. So some might say, how this is possible? We are finding it difficult to have a deep, intimate relationship with our spouse. How can we do it with one another? Yes, it's difficult. Before we see, look into how we can do it, let's see why. Why fellowship? So my first point is, we are born again into God's family. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were brought into this family, a great family, the family of God Almighty. So we belong to God's family now. God could have given some other explanation, like God is our Father and we are his sons and daughters. But he could have mentioned something else. Instead of father, son, father, daughter, he could have said, I am the CEO and this is an organization and you all are the employees. But he didn't say that. He could have said that I will every, at the end of the month, if you do good, I will deposit 2 kilos of love in your bank account. He didn't say that. He is love. He is relational. He loves us unconditionally. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God, from the beginning, was in loving relationship with himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was in a loving relationship with each other. When he brought us into his family, he wants to have a loving relationship with us. He is the Father and we are the sons and the daughters. Similarly, he expects us to be in a loving relationship with each other as one family, as brothers and sisters. So, are you a part of God's family? If you have put your faith in Jesus, yes, you are God's family. If there is anyone today who is not sure that God is Father and you are his son or daughter, I would ask you to contact any one of us and accept Jesus and believe in the finished work of Jesus and receive him as your Savior and as your Lord. And then you will be part of God's family. And if you are already part of God's family, what do families do? Families live together in unity. Psalms 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So we should live together in unity. So we are born again into God's family. My second point is, we have a kingdom purpose together. Ephesians 4:15 to 16 says, instead of speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together, why every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we are joined and when we are held together, that is when we grow. As each part does its work, each member of the body has to do their work, their part. That is when we will be able to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. Remember, we have a great kingdom purpose together. John Maxwell says, you can go faster by yourself, but you can go further together. It's like this, a rocket launch. In a rocket launch, there are many things which has to happen properly for a successful rocket launch. Even if a nut or bolt is not at its place, the rocket launch can fail. This year, Nawaz shared this amazing prophetic word for this church regarding crossover. I'll just read from a portion from her word. It says, we are in a season of crossover from one era to the next. We know a new era is upon us, but it is not yet. Crossovers can be challenging, stormy, unsettling, rough, confusing, unclear. There is even the danger of not making it to the other side if we don't handle the currents of change well. So there is going to be a crossover where we enter into a new era. It can be challenging, it's stormy, it's rough, it's confusing. There is a danger of not making it. And the day she released this prophetic word, a day before that, I saw a dream. And the crux of the message was, from the dream was, Lord was telling, the Lord needs his entire body during a shift to a new place, to entering into a new era, a crossover. So why I'm sharing this? We all together have to go into a new era. It's together. Every part has to play his part. Every body part has to, part of the body, every member of the body has to play its part. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If every one part is missing, then the whole body also suffers. So what I would like to ask today is, how many are on board for this crossover? If you're on board, give me a thumbs up. Only if you are on board. So yes, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But together, we will have a great, successful crossover. And we will accomplish the great kingdom purpose together for which we are here. You are not here by coincidence. It's not a coincidence that you are here. It's for a great kingdom purpose. So tell to one another if you believe that I am not here by coincidence. Okay, so my first point is we are born again into God's family. My second point was we have a kingdom purpose together. My third point is we need one another. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. We all need help. And God has given us some gifts. Some might have one gift, two gifts, three gifts, but we don't have all the gifts. From his great variety of spiritual gifts, he has given us few gifts. Why are these gifts given? These gifts are to serve one another. And Bible mentions more than 25 times that we should be serving one another. Not only through gifts, but through the acts of service. Like when Meher had a fracture, many of us went to her home with food. Some of us sent food to her, which was a great help to her. Don't think that you need not need anything. You and God is enough. No. You and God is required, but in community. Thank God we don't have all the gifts. If any of you think you have all the gifts, tell to God, help me. But if you know that you don't have all the gifts, tell to one another that, thank God we don't have all the gifts. Because if you have all the gifts, you will fall. Because you will get into pride. So we need each other's gifts. Romans 12:4-6, it says, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. So we know that we belong to Jesus, we belong to God. But it also says we belong to each other. So today, if you believe this, tell the person next to you, I belong to you. If there is no one beside you, you can tell me that I belong to you. So there will be a lot of people for me. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. So what do we do? Look for opportunity to serve others. Whenever there is someone in need, go and help them. Offer your help to them. Use your gifts to help others. The fourth point is, fellowship is modeled in the Bible. Jesus had 12 main disciples. He was in fellowship with them. We see him teaching them. We see him traveling with them, eating with them. So Jesus was in deep fellowship with these 12 main disciples. Similarly, the early church also devoted themselves to fellowship. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So we should also devote ourselves to fellowship. Yes, it is difficult. How can we have a biblical fellowship with our community? How to fellowship? First thing is, receive love from God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So I would like to ask Lasia a question. Lasia, you can unmute. Lasia, can you give me a Benz car?
I don't have it to give it to you.
See, Lasia doesn't have a Benz to give it to me. Why? Because she doesn't have. We cannot give what we do not have. So we cannot give love unless we have love, unless we receive love, unless our love tank is filled. We cannot give love. So receive love from God, don't expect love from others, because you may fail, but you depend on God's love. He is faithful. He is loving. He gives us unconditional love. He loved us before we were born. And when we know his love, we have a revelation of his love. When we experience his great love, then we walk with him. We have an intimate relationship with him. And 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. So as we walk with him, as we have an intimate relationship with him, as we love him, we will be able to fellowship with one another. We will be able to love one another. So I would request you to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Receive the great love with which he has loved you. Receive it. Have a revelation of it. Pray for a revelation of his love. In Ephesians 3:17 to 19, Paul prays for the people of Ephesus that they would grasp the love, the great love Jesus has for us. And second way is, once you receive, give. Give love to others. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or with tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice and in sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. So we can just say that we love words, with words we can say, but Bible says our love should be in action. The real love we have should be converted into action. It should be in truth. It should be real, sincere love, genuine love. Like our role models, Jesus and the early church. Jesus gave his life for us. 1 John 3:16 says, we know that what real love is, because Jesus gave up his life for us. so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Similarly, the early church gave each other their time and possessions. In Acts 2, 44 to 46, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So what did they give? Here we see love in action and in truth. They were together and had everything in common. They gave to anyone who had need. They gave their possessions to those who had need. And they met together. What they had to give to meet together? They had to give time. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Again, they had to give their time, precious time, for fellowship. So, what would you do? Would you give your time to fellowship? How can you give time to fellowship? Can you attend the small gatherings during the week? You have done well to attend this meeting on a Sunday. Can you take a few more steps ahead to build the fellowship? Can you attend the gym meetings which we have? These are the fellowship meetings, small group meetings we have through the week. Can you attend the living room meeting where we worship together? Can you attend the fasting prayer meetings which is going to happen this week? Or can the men meet in the morning? I know many of you are working long hours, but in the morning, can you spare some time for the morning meeting, the men's meeting? You can meet with each other. You can call a few people at home and have meals together and spend time together. This is giving time. Or you can give your attention. If someone is rejoicing, rejoice with them. If someone is weeping, weep with them. Give your possessions. When someone is in need, help them. Share your resources with those in need. So my first point, how to do it is receive from God love and give to the others the love you have received from God. And third thing to do is be watchful. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. He wants to sow seeds of discord. He wants to destroy genuine fellowship. Why? Fellowship is precious to God. He is relational. He loves these relationships. When there is love, he is there because he is love. And the enemy wants to kill and destroy. What does the thief do? If you leave a banana peel and a diamond at your home, what would thief steal? The thief will steal the diamond, right? Similarly, this fellowship is precious. That is why the enemy always targets the fellowship. So we should ask the belonging to the family of God Almighty, we should be watchful of that which breaks the fellowship. The number one culprit is pride, selfishness and envy, lies, gossip, unforgiveness, and mismanagement of conflicts. This destroys fellowship. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. It says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think these people are ordinary. I don't want to have company with them. Don't be proud. All that you have, all that you are is because of God. Put on humility and don't think that you know it all. We cannot know everything until we meet the perfect. So have a teachable spirit. You cannot know everything. And the other thing which I would like to highlight is gossip. Gossip separates the best of friends. Be watchful of gossip. Are you part of gossip? Be careful that you are not part of gossip because it's very tempting. I know. And second thing is be watchful of those wandering away from fellowship. Like in the beginning, I shared that when a sheep wanders away from their flock, the sheep put endangers himself. The sheep is endangered, right? When we walk away from the community, we are putting ourselves in danger. So as a loving community, as you love that person, would you not bring that sheep back to the flock? Jesus says, leave the 99 and go after the lost one. If your earthly family, which is temporary, if someone is endangering themselves, wouldn't you go after them and try to help them? Wouldn't you pray for that person? Similarly, if a person is going out of the community, is going out of the fellowship, put all efforts to bring that person back into the flock. Pray for that person. Encourage one another. To conclude, I'd say developing fellowship, developing an intimate relationship with one another is not easy. But as someone said, we are not made for easy. We are made for victory. As we go deeper into relationship, yes, conflicts will surely come. But genuine love never fails. Before I end this message, I would like to share a small story. There was a season in our life where me and Shoma was always in fights. We used to fight, like conflicts used to turn into fights, and fights used to turn into wars even. That was a very bad season. So I used to think, what's wrong? What's wrong with her? She needs to change. So I went into a fast. I thought God will do something and will change her. So as I was fasting, I thought God would say, poor Manish, I will change Shoma for you. But that's not what God said. When we fast, it's not God. We are not fasting to move God. We are fasting to change ourselves. So God spoke to me. God asked me to meditate 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. He and asked me to change myself. He said, love is patient, does not envy, does not boast. It is not self-seeking and always perseveres. It does not keep record of wrong. So I was meditating on this verses, and whenever fights used to happen, whenever conflicts used to happen, before it gets into a fight, I would remember these verses. I used to be patient. I used to, when I'm tempted to bring out all the records of wrongs, which I have recorded it safely, I said, I won't keep the record of the wrongs. And I say, I will persevere, because love always perseveres. And so now we are able to manage the conflicts. Conflicts still happen, but we are happy that God has helped us to not change, mismanage those conflicts and get into fights and wars. So what am I saying? I realized that it was my mistake that these conflicts turned into fights and wars. We should always, whenever conflict happens, we should ask ourselves, we should ask God, what did I do wrong? What can I do to resolve this conflict? Even if you are not wrong, what step you can take? How much extra mile you can travel to resolve the conflict? This fast, at the speed at which you resolve the conflict, shows your spiritual maturity. So I would encourage all of you to go deeper into relationship. Have a deep relationship with Jesus. And from that relationship, have a deep relationship with one another. And genuine love never fails. Let's pray. Let's spend some quiet time and ask Holy Spirit what is that we have to do? Is there anything that we should do? How can we develop intimate relationship? Is there any step we should do today? Should I commit myself to any, should you commit yourself to any more meetings, any gym meetings or any more meetings? What more can you do? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let's spend a few minutes just to hear from God and pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Father. Your word is amazing, Father. It has the power to transform, Father. Holy Spirit, use these words to transform each one of us, including me, Lord. Help us to put love into action, Lord. Not in words, not in speech, Father. In truth and in action, Father. Help us to pray for one another, Father. Help us to serve one another, Lord. Give us a revelation of your love, Father. Great love for you have for us, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Thank you all.